Hey there. Welcome to Coffee with the Docs. We are a holistic lifestyle podcast where we give integrative solutions and bring brilliant experts to help you thrive, mind, body, and spirit. We are Drs. Nicole Huffman and Abby Kramer, and we're so happy you're here. Hey everybody, I think you guys are gonna love this episode. I chat with Ashley all about the eclipse season that's coming up. She is an astrological wizard. She can explain astrology like nobody else I've ever met. And so we do sort of a deep dive into what the eclipses mean, what the North and the South Node mean, your future, your past, all the things. So I think you're gonna love it. And as always, we want to chat about our coffee sponsor, the official coffee of the podcast, Life Boost Coffee. It's all the things we love, super clean, organic. Even when they do their flavors, they do it right. So if you're interested in trying their coffee, use discount code CWD15. And as always, we love that you guys listen. Thanks for being a part of this. I can't believe we've been recording now for so long, so many episodes. So if you're enjoying it, the love language of podcasts is to please leave us a 5-star review. That would be amazing. And we hope you love this episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to Coffee with the Docs. We have a repeat guest on today. Ashley Tracy, thanks for being on. Ash, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I know. Is this our second time, right?
Or third? I think it's our third time.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of very relevant astrological things today. I'm very excited. But before we dive into all of that, I'm going to have you give a little introduction of yourself to our audience.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley Tracy, and I'm an intuitive astrologer and soulful guide. I've been into astrology. How long have I been doing this? Over 10 years. A long time.
Wow. That is a long time.
I know. And I love it. And It's funny. Everybody asked me, like, how did I get into it? And I said, through my own healing journey.
Yes. I know. Isn't that just like how we all have come to things, I feel?
Yeah. I mean, I think all healers and all those people who feel really called to a certain mission kind of integrate their own story and weave it into how they, you know, work with other people. But yeah, so I offer readings and I have an astrology mentorship program that helps, you know, specifically with what we're talking about today, helps people navigate what's happening around them at all times, because cosmic influences are never ending. Everything is a cycle. Everything is a pattern. And becoming aware of it is really the most important thing, because awareness can really shift your how it shows up in your life. Yeah. And so I love working with my aligned monthly clients and doing that work. And then, yeah, I also do past life regression work. And I'm also a professor. I teach. I'm just finishing up my astrology for health and wellness course. And yeah, it's really, I love it all. It all integrates.
So many things. I have never heard you use soulful guide before. I really like that.
You know, I've gone through like, I don't want to really be called a coach, you know, because really it's about holding space and also facilitating through guidance how people navigate life. Because, you know, when I get clients come to me and are like, okay, tell me my purpose, tell me all this stuff, I was like, okay, it's more about how you take back your own power. Stop giving away your power to other things. And astrology is so easy to do, and we can get so tripped up in that of, you feel so disempowered because something's happening around you and you're like, well, you know, it's going to hit the fan and I have no control. Well, you do. You have control over how you respond to it and how you shift your mindset and your actions moving forward. So I kind of settled on guide, and obviously everything soulfully, because that's just so important for me and my mission. And I just like it a lot better than coach, or I played around with so many different things, you know, but ultimately what it comes down to is I'm really guiding people on how to not only navigate their own birth chart and their own, you know, life and soulful purpose and path in this lifetime, but also guiding them through when we have things like eclipse season coming up. And, you know, it's a little energetically disturbing sometimes.
Love that. I was gonna say something about one of the things that I love that you taught me early on. So everybody, Ashley, I've been using her as my astrologer for a long time, basically since we met, I think. And I've found it extremely helpful, just, you know, like looking ahead of things. I also find it like one of the things you teach is like it's astrology isn't really positive or negative. It's just like opportunities, it's influence, and kind of what you do with it, right? So I, because I think we can look at things and be like, oh, Mercury retrograde, so negative. And it's like, well, I like the lens of like, it's not really negative. Like nothing out there is, yeah. So, okay, before we dive in talking about eclipse, and everybody, I apologize, I'm on the end of this cold that is lingering forever from daycare loveliness. So if I sound a little off, that is why. Ash, we ask all of our guests two questions. We've probably asked you them. This would be the third time. And we haven't changed our questions because we think they're interesting. And we find that people's answers are always changing and evolving. So the first question is, what is your favorite drink of choice lately?
Well, that I don't think has changed. I still love me some matcha. But I think what might be different is I've been really into herbal medicine and trying different things. And Damiana is like my go-to right now. Really
Oh,
heart-focused, heart-opening.
Damiana.
And
Love that.
you know, with the green of the matcha, you know, the heart chakra connection. I put a little bit of Damiana drops, tinctures. In my matcha, and I really love it. And then, yeah, also dandelion too. A lot of
Yeah, that's a
dandelion
nice
tea
one.
lately.
That's a nice
I
one.
feel like I'm detoxing from things that happened, that you know, medical stuff that happened this past November, and dandelion
Yes.
really helping me out.
Yeah, move out that anesthesia. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and then our second question is, what is your latest biohack?
I've been really into red light therapy. I
Oh,
got a red
okay.
light,
Love
the one you
that.
suggested.
Okay.
And was it fringe? I think.
Yes. We'll have a little link in the show notes if you guys want to know which one we're talking about.
And I just started with that because I love to tie it to astrology. Obviously, I tie everything. I'm a sun in Libra, and the sun doesn't love being placed in the sign of Libra. So, sun astrologically is the red ray. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, wouldn't red light therapy help kind of boost? Because a lot of things that it does, it also boosts that vitality and life force, which is the sun's ray in astrology. And so, my sun not being very happy in the placement of Libra needs a little boost. So,
Love that.
red light therapy. I started with the mask just for the face, but then I really got into it for like the body itself. So,
Cool. All right. I was going to also ask, does Scorpio like being in the sun?
The sun in Scorpio isn't it's kind of a neutral placement for the sun.
Neutral.
Yeah, it's neutral. Sun and water sign in general needs a little love because you know you're looking at the sun is naturally the ruler of Leo, and the sun itself is hot and dry. So you put it in a cold and wet sign, it's there's going to be some level of like dampening that chi, that vitality a bit. So sun and water signs would also benefit to having that, but Your son's in the first house, which gives it a boost because that's a fire house. So it, I would say it's kind of balanced out. It's pretty
Yeah.
neutral. Yeah. But it's more,
Astrology is never ending.
it is never
There's
ending.
like more and more stuff you can dig into. It is
I know.
amazing.
You're like, wait a minute. I don't think you've ever told me that, Ashley.
No, never. I didn't even. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So today we're going to chat about eclipses because we've got some big ones coming up and eclipse. So let's start with like the real basics.
Sure.
Like what are eclipses? Why is it something that we pay attention to and we're in that season?
Yeah, gosh, eclipses have been probably one of the biggest astrological occurrences that, humans have observed and, a long, long, long time, because you could see it. You could visibly see when the sun is shadowing the moon and it's changing and it goes dark and all of that. So, ancient astrology and, the Babylonians and way back in the time, they used to associate eclipses like as bad omens. But we've evolved to understand a little bit more now, as astrology has evolved, that eclipses themselves really are just change agents, right? They disrupt the energy a little bit because there is this disturbance between the sun and the moon. So what eclipses are is you have the sun, you have the moon, you have this ecliptic around Earth. So they orbit in this ecliptic energy, and there are lunar nodes. We've talked about the lunar nodes before in astrology, which are these mathematical points along that ecliptic. And when we have new moons and full moons that interact with the nodes is when we have eclipses. So we usually have about two eclipse seasons every year. So we have this March, April, and then we'll have September, October this year, where we'll have our two sets of eclipses. And eclipses always work just like the annual lunar cycles. There's a new moon eclipse, there's a full moon eclipse. And just like a new moon, it's the same energy, but it's amplified like 100 times, right? Because the energy of an eclipse connection to the lunar node, which are the nodes of fate, right? So if we look at the south node is our past, our karmic patterns, our behaviors, our subconscious, kind of like how we're just reacting to the world around us, what we're familiar with. There's a lot of karmic patterning with the south node. It's where our souls originate from. It's like where we're coming from and what we bring into this life. Collectively, same thing. As a collective, it's that same energy. North node is where we're going, right? And so it's the path of growth and evolution forward. And the north node's unfamiliar because it's territory that isn't second nature, like our south node, right? And collectively, there is a collective desire to move towards the north node when we have eclipse seasons. And so we call that the line of destiny, or so we have to, in order to get to the north node where we want to go, we have to break the patterns of the south node, and we have to work through the karmic energy connected to that south node. And that's why the energy is so intense during eclipse season, is because it's not just a regular lunation. It's got this karmic, dharmic energy tied to it. And like you were saying before, nothing is bad in astrology. Everything has a purpose. And so the cycles of these eclipses serve a purpose. And then so we can look at it from a collective lens, right? A collective lens of how is this showing up? And currently, the south node is in the sign of Libra, and the north node is in the sign of Aries. So we're really looking at me versus we, right? Whereas Libra is all about relationships and the we, so collectively, we, us, and the Aries is the me, the role I play in this relationship. And that's the overall dynamic at play during this specific theme. Now, every eclipse cycle will have a different theme, because they'll be in different opposite polar signs. So Libra and Aries are naturally opposite in the zodiac. The next eclipse cycle will start in Pisces and Virgo. And so we work in these polarities in the sense of these opposite astrological signs. And by transit, the eclipses usually will stay in a sign axis for about 18 months and then shift into a new one. So we for like 18 months, we have a really specific theme, not only collectively, but also individually.
So I remember the ones we had before were Scorpio and Taurus.
Yes.
So since I'm a Scorpio, it might have, would you say, like, if that's your sign, it might hit you a little harder or in a different, maybe not harder, but in a different,
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So first, we looked at the collective lens, right? The individual lens, there's a few ways to go about it. If you have any personal planets, such as your sun, your moon, Mercury, Venus, your rising sign, in the signs that are the eclipses. So for example, in Aries and Libra this time around, you're going to experience this a little bit more personally, right? It's really going to shake up something within yourself. That's one way to look at it. I'm a bunch of Libra, so like bring it
I was
on.
gonna say, here it go for you.
I'm a sun in Libra, Venus in Libra, Mercury in Libra, like a lot
Oh
of personal
boy.
things. Now collect like outer planets like Pluto in Libra, things like that. That's generational. So I really like to focus on just like sun, moon, rising, Mercury, Venus, Mars, ascendant. That's the first layer. Second, look at your rising sign. Find out that's based on time. And the houses in which the eclipses hit are really important because houses in astrology talk about where. They give a dimension of experience. And usually, if you are a rising sign in the sign that is part of the eclipse, you're going to feel it really powerfully. So, for example, all cardinal signs during this eclipse season, so that's Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, are going to feel these eclipses, if that's your rising sign, more than most because it's happening in either the first, fourth, seventh, or 10th house. So when you had the Scorpio and Taurus eclipses, because you were a Scorpio rising, it was happening in your first house. And the first, fourth, seventh, and 10th house in astrology are the angular houses. It's the houses that create action. So when you have eclipses falling in any of those houses, usually you're going to have a lot of outer experiences that, and like big experiences, big changes happen during that time because those houses usually indicate some sort of action being taken. Whereas the other ones are move a little bit more internal, and maybe you won't see as much external. So if I'm working with someone that, for example, this season has, Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn on their rising, I'm gonna help navigate kind of how this could potentially show up because there's some big action taking. And I'll tell you, even if you don't know your rising sign and you have one of those, you feel it, right? Like you might not be conscious of it, but it's happening. It's like, wow, okay. I was the same thing. I'm an Aquarius rising, and during the Scorpio Taurus eclipses, which were my fourth and 10th house, major changes in my life, big, huge, disruptive changes for the better, ultimately.
Yeah,
But big
always.
changes. Yeah. So there's that piece. So there's a couple ways to look at eclipses by collective and by that individual. A, do you have any planets in those or angles in those signs? And how by house placement is this going to show up? Because house placement really talks a lot about where this is all unfolding. And knowing that gives you a little bit of ease in how to navigate it because you can kind of prepare yourself a bit to know, and be aware of, okay, it's not just me like going crazy, like something really big is happening in this area of my life.
And so for the houses, we have done an entire episode on that. It was either you and I who did it, or I had another astrologer on there, Lauren. One of us, there is a house episode on what the houses mean on our podcast. So if you guys want to dig into that, just go searching for it. Because that could be like, and was an entire thing, because
Oh
it's,
my
you know,
gosh,
there's
yeah.
so many pieces with that.
Astrology is a language, right? I always say planets are what are we talking about? Signs are how we're going about this, and houses are where this is all unfolding. So it's like building the sentence of astrology.
Which I love is awesome. Okay, so let's talk about this first one that's coming up. I actually learned about this one last year, so I was like, wow, it must be big. There's like some line going across the United States. And anyways, so tell me a little bit about this eclipse coming up. I think it's April 8th. Is that right?
Yeah, so we actually have two coming up. So we're
Right. Always a
entering,
full and a
there's
new.
always a full and always a new moon. So always a lunar and a solar eclipse. So the first one's actually a lunar eclipse. It's on March 25th and it'll be in Libra. And so what that means when I say lunar eclipse, it's a full moon eclipse, which relates back to the new moon eclipse in Libra we had October 14th of 2023.
Okay, so just last October.
Yeah,
And
so
when
the
you
last.
say relates to it, you guys like to say that on your accounts, like look back at this date or whatever. And are we looking for like a theme that was happening, maybe something big that was okay?
Especially when you go new to full, because the new moon, just like the solar eclipse we had in Libra on the 14th of October last year, planted the seeds. And so the full manifestation of that, and also the point in which it's fully illuminated in your life, is coming up in March, right? And so there's going to be a correlation. So think back to anything that might have occurred, regardless of even knowing your planets or houses, think back of that time of the year. What started then? Because that's like really, it was a solar new moon eclipse. So something was starting to where you have. Now we're going to really see that manifestation or some sort of illumination of that in your life around March 25th. Now I'll be honest, we'll start to feel it as we get closer to it. So it doesn't have to be exactly on that day. The energy's been building since October, but this is really going to highlight and bring that energy to the surface. And so you might see repeated patterns too, or things that came up during that time. And so, it doesn't have to be anything big. I guarantee you, someone who has planets in these signs, Aries and Libra, or a rising sign in the cardinal, they're going to be able to pinpoint exactly what it is, So for some other people, they might have to dig a little deeper as to kind of what was going on for them.
Interesting. Okay. So the full one is March, and then the new one is this one that has the
In
line across the
April.
United States. Okay.
Yeah, so the full one, we also want to look at, okay, we're having these eclipses. Well, what other aspects are these eclipses making to the planets? And the one in March in Libra is making a beautiful trine to Pluto, who's now in Aquarius. And so there's a lot of potential for transformation. We have to look at, is this a north node eclipse or a south node eclipse? This is a south node eclipse, meaning it's the south node in Libra. So it's really looking at what needs to be transformed and let go of, right? Because Pluto is connected there and Pluto's going to help. He's going to be like, okay, I'm here to help you. I'm not going to create friction or tension or challenge you. I'm going to assist you in releasing something. And so
Might be
collectively,
easier
it's going to
than
be, I don't know. I don't know about easy. I'm going to say easy.
like, no,
I'm
not
going to say
easy.
like, it's nicer to have Pluto on our side than not, you know?
Okay, got it.
It's because I think it depends. Are you holding on to certain patterns, especially relational patterns? Because that's such a big theme for Aries and Libra. Or are you holding on to, again, depending upon where it falls in your chart, there's definitely something that needs to be released. And, where do you need to break some karmic patterns is like such a good question during this time. to look a little deeper, because we do have Pluto on our side during this eclipse, he's going to assist in saying and bringing up the shadow, right? Because that's really what Pluto does. He's like, oh, you got to go deeper, dig a little deeper. There's like a core wounding or something happening down there that's really connected to that. And so a lot of releasing usually during a south node eclipse, because in order to get to the north node where we want to go, we have to go through the south node first. We have to look at the patterns that hold us back from really evolving and growing along that north node path. And that's what a south node eclipse is about. And let's say something started in October. You ask yourself, like, what have I done since October to really transform certain parts of my life that might not be assisting me in moving forward? And it could be a thought pattern, a perspective, it could be a behavior, it could be a relationship, it could be how are it's, you know, it is Libra is ruled by Venus. So we do have to kind of look at Venus and say, okay, is it Venus's creative projects, its finances, its beauty, its arts, it is relationships too. It's our value system. So like maybe we're shifting our values and those are changing. Don't try to create a story where a story doesn't exist. That is something really important to understand with astrology, is like if what resonates with you and what doesn't, leave it if it doesn't, because you might be listening to this and none of that resonates, but something's coming up for you and you're like, I think that's what it is for me. Don't connect to the story. And gosh, I see that come up a lot. I've had a lot of conversations really about the story, the narrative we play, and we get so caught up in this story. And we attach to it that it holds us back from being able to move forward. And that, I think, is ultimately the energy of a south node eclipse. And then you can apply it to where it might hit in your chart and fall in your chart, or what it might relate back to in October that showed up. So there's a many different ways this may show up. I think collectively, that me versus we. Shadow side of Libra. We have to look at all the things of Libra. Libra is very relational energy. It's very social. It's concerned about the other person. And shadow side is it's people pleasing. It avoids conflict. Here's the thing. I can say it. I'm a Libra. Most Libra energy, like if you're not learning how to express what you need, you build resentment when people don't give you what you need, because you have to look at yourself, look, am I really expressing that? Because sometimes, I'm afraid to express what I need for fear of people maybe not supporting that. You have to look at those things. And so there is a bit of resentment in Libra, even though they're so friendly and they love people, they have to look at themselves and be like, okay, am I really expressing what I need those to these people instead of getting mad at them for not showing up the way I need? Well, did you tell them how you needed it? Like,
Yeah,
I
you
mean,
expect
I know
them
your
to be like
Scorpio energy
mind
can relate to
readers.
that. Yeah, your Scorpio energy is like, what are you talking about? I tell people what I need all the time.
Okay. Two things, or one thing for sure. When you talk about karmic patterns, I feel like most of us are like, oh, we totally know what karmic patterns are. And then we're like, wait, do we? Can you explain, like, layman's term? Like, what's a karmic pattern? That somebody would be like, oh, this, like you were saying, this like south node eclipse is a great time to sort of break them. Like, what, give me an example of a karmic pattern.
Gosh, it can show up so many different ways. Karma, first and foremost, understanding what karma means astrologically, right? Astrologically, karma is everything we bring with us into this lifetime. So, the lunar nodes have a lot to do with reincarnation, and that's in Western and Vedic astrology. They're very important points in the chart. And the south node, the karma, is what we're familiar with. So let's say you were a healer in a past life and you come in this life and you're just like, oh, being a healer, I just feel like I'm drawn to do that. Or I naturally have this gift that I can't explain. It's not just you do something to somebody, they're going to do it back to you. That's not astrological karma. Karma is, sure, there's going to be unresolved emotions, potentially unexplainable fears, potentially natural gifts and affinities connected. And for example, let's say you have a south node in Libra, you're usually coming into this lifetime with a lot of relational karma, right? And so you probably got lost in your relationships in past lives and never truly really lived life for yourself, right? And in this lifetime, you'll have a north node in Aries, which is like you gotta be a little selfish in this lifetime. Stop putting other needs above your own. So karmic patterns, because the south node, it's the south node of the moon, which is the moon in astrology is our subconscious. It's how we're responding to the world around us. So karmic patterning really is our response, and some people our reaction to things, right? Like a lot of people are reacting, especially if you have a fire moon, you're more reacting than responding, right? And so, so it's like we can talk about that because we both are fire moons. So it's breaking these patterns that keep us stuck in old ways of doing things, of thinking, of behaving, just things that keep us stuck in old patterns that karma is really about coming in this lifetime to balance it out, to do the opposite.
Yeah, to do the opposite. So a lot of the nodes, they're always opposite.
They're always opposite because they're always in opposite signs. And in astrology, every sign has a polar opposite sign and they work in pairs. And
Got
so
it.
the nodes are always the exact same degree and they're always identically opposite.
Makes sense. Okay, so we have this idea of this March 25th lumination of something that happened that maybe it would have started or we would have become aware of around October of last year. How about this April one? And
Sure.
that's a new moon eclipse.
That's a new moon. So that's a solar eclipse. And what you mean by the line going through the United States is because we can see, we'll be able to see the totality of it. You can actually see it at in various places. So like if you were to go outside, it doesn't always land on top of the in North America, but it is going through North America,
This
this
time.
one specifically. Yeah.
Yes.
And since it's during the day, it's a solar eclipse, you'll be able to see that. And I don't know exactly where it's running through, but it is running through the United States and North America in general.
Yes. I know
And
it's
so
not going through Colorado. That's
it's
all I
not going through
know.
Colorado, but I want to say it's like, is it Arizona? I don't know. I can't
Yeah,
remember.
it's Texas and
Texas. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe more the middle. The Midwest. We'll see it maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
So this is happening in the sign of Aries, and so it's a new moon eclipse. And so this is planting seeds, right? This is new beginnings. This is forging a new path, right? This is about embodying this energy to move forward because the Libra stuff, like right before it, you might have released something, kind of really become aware of a pattern that needs to be changed. And now you're like, okay, I'm ready to move forward in this direction. What do I need to do? It's this one's conjunct Chiron in Aries. And so there's such a healing, like healer theme, right? Because Chiron's the wounded healer. And Aries is about our identity. And Aries is about our sense of self, right? It's the me, right? It's the what do I want? What am I like passionate about? It's having the courage to be yourself, right? And to understand the role of that you play in all your relationships, especially the one with yourself. That's going to be highlighted, right? How do you love and care for yourself? And how are you honoring what you desire and having the courage? That's such a word for Aries, is like it's so courageous. You know, he's a warrior, he's ruled by Mars. So it's having the courage to like be yourself, really, you know, and not be afraid to show who you are or to express what you need. And it's like, and being next to Chiron during this illumination, it's like, how are you integrating this into your life? Because Chiron is, don't over-identify with the wound. How do you integrate it so it can become your greatest gift in this lifetime? And that's really the energy of this. Now, it is new moon, and also we will be in a Mercury retrograde during that time. So it's
Oh,
planting
boy.
the seed, right? It's really planting the seeds. They're not germinated just yet. You have to give it love. You have to water them. You have to nourish yourself. You have to do all of that. Like, you're going to see this really connect, right? As we go through and move along the lunar cycle. You'll get a second chance of this again in March of 2025 when we'll have another Aries eclipse. And so that's when the story will really like fully evolve by that
Is
time.
that full moon
It's
one?
actually not.
Oh, okay.
It's another new moon. We won't have another full moon. We won't have an Aries full moon because we'll have another Libra new moon in October, but because in September, we're having a full moon in Pisces to start the Pisces Virgo one. So we'll have a little taste of what the next year, 18 months will be about. But so that basically gives you plenty of time to work on this
Yes.
Aries energy, right? Of
Wow. Interesting.
almost like getting a second chance. Because we had an Aries eclipse back in spring of 2023 that started off this whole lunation cycle and eclipse cycle. I also want to give another context or reference point for people to think back to if they're old enough, because eclipses return back to this sign axis every 19 years.
Oh, okay.
And 2024 to 2026 is when was the last time we had this eclipse energy of South Node Libra, North Node Aries.
Wait. You said 2024
To 2026.
was the last time?
Was the last time we had the South Node in Libra and the North Node in Aries?
Wait, but 2024 is now, and 2026 hasn't happened yet.
2004. Did I say 2024?
You did, yeah. Okay. My
I meant
brain was like
2000.
exploding. I was like, oh my gosh,
Whoa.
what's happening? Okay.
2004 to 2006.
2006. Okay, got it. All right. So we're looking back at that time and kind of thinking of like, again, themes, what was happening. Okay. Oh
But
boy.
yeah, so then yeah, that new moon in Aries and it's how do you see the me and the we, like it's
It's
going
the
back to that.
same theme. Okay. All right.
And
Yeah.
then
For a lot of us, that will be stretching our brains, unless you're an avid journaler like myself, and then you just flip the
I'll be honest,
pages.
it's unless you like really have something really stand out. So
Yeah.
you don't have to go that far, but for my individuals that want to research it a little bit more, that's just another reference
Yeah.
point.
That's cool.
You can also look
Another way of looking at
collectively.
it.
Yeah, you can also look collectively too if there was anything.
Like what was going on in the world at that
Yeah, what
time?
was going on in the world? There's many astrologers who focus on that. That's not me. I more do like the individual experience is my jam. And so, yeah, but I mean, easy enough is look back into October. And so then we'll have this, eclipse portal. So these like 2 weeks, that's like intense energy. I mean, there are some things, how do we navigate the intensity of eclipse energy? Because eclipses really want change to occur. There's a disruption, like I said. And if you're someone who doesn't like change, it's preparing yourself for eclipse season of like there might be some changes necessary. For those of you who really like change, it's just being more conscious of the changes you make. And because this energy can be overstimulating, really. There are a few things I try to tell people to avoid during eclipse season. One, don't get pregnant.
Oh, okay. Perfect. It's
It's
good. Good
too,
advice.
the energy's too erratic. It won't stick, right? There's risk for just it not sticking, because the energy is too intense.
Okay.
Same
So
thing with
that would
like,
be between them. Is that what you're talking about? Like between
yeah, I
those
would say
two.
late March, through, most of April, entered, like, really through past the 8th of April. But I mean, I would try to avoid just April in general.
Okay.
Near the end is fine because we also have that Mercury retrograde happening April 1st through April 25th. And but really eclipse energy. So try not to launch a new business, get pregnant, do any like major things that like you really want to go like smoothly without any disruption, because like that's not eclipse energy. Eclipse energy shakes things up. If you've been too stagnant, it's going to come in and shake things up.
Okay. So what about like big things, like maybe that's not the time to buy a home or
Yeah, I wouldn't buy a house because also Mercury's retrograde. No
Right.
signing major contracts. So
No
they're
signing
kind of
major contracts.
overlapping some things. But yeah, but sometimes there might be like you might be moving during that time and that might relate to the eclipse too. So it's not saying don't live your life. It's just see how this relates to your life and it might make sense why those things are happening. And it might, for example, if this was happening in your like 10th house and fourth house, yeah, you might be moving or looking to buy a house
I
or,
see.
because it's that area of life. And then it also might be you making career changes, right? Because the 10th house is that. Now,
So again, you're looking at where Libra and Aries are in your chart, which houses, and that might shed some light a little bit on what might be going on.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And then the same thing with do you have any planets or, in Libra? And what do those planets represent? That might come to light. Like I've got a lot of planets in Libra. So, we'll see.
We'll
October was a
see.
really tough month for me. So, yeah.
Lot
So
happening
a
there.
lot happening, I got a blood clot. Let's see, let's, it's I'm done with that now. Okay.
Everything's good with
Everything's good.
that.
Yeah, so to get more specific too, and how I work with clients is like every lunation is going to have a degree, a place in that sign. And that's how we can say, like, for example, the one in March is 5 degrees of Libra. So if you have any early Libra placements, you'll hit it, you'll feel it more than later Libra, which was October. I'm a lot of later Libra. So all of mine, like, really got highlighted in October. I don't have very many at 5 degrees. I only have, it's close to my Mercury, and that's about it. At 10 degrees. But, and then for Aries, it's 19 degrees of Aries. So kind of middle to late Aries people, right? So if
Are gonna feel it more.
you're born more like mid-April time, you're going to feel it more than the March Aries people. But you're going to still feel it, right? We're just like, what degree is this like, what level is this
What
showing up
degree will
for
you
me?
feel this? Which is like kind of makes sense actually when you use that terminology all the time. And this is like actually degrees. So makes sense.
It's very mathematically exact, and like astrology is not just fluff, people. It's like
It's a
it's
thing.
math. It's math. It's math and science.
Love
And
it.
for example, like if you're especially a Libra or Aries rising, this is going to be really potent for you. And I have a lot of clients that are Libra and Aries rising, and in a lot of our conversations of how this is showing up for them and how to work with this energy. So the key is do not fear astrology.
I like that. That it always comes back to that.
And don't try to make it something it's not. That's another thing. It's like don't try to grab
Don't do the
onto a story.
stories. Yes.
Like
Perfect.
we don't manifest that stuff in your life, okay? It's more look at what's going on and how can you relate it to what you're experiencing in this present moment and help explain or validate some of the stuff that's going on for you. That's really the best way to use astrology.
I love it. I love always talking with you. You're able to explain it very well, but also the complexity of everything comes across really great, which is wonderful. So, tell our audience where they can find you.
So my website's ashleytracy.com. You can find me there. I do one-on-one live readings. I also have a monthly mentorship program, which really is helping you navigate what's going on. And many other things. So you can find me there. I'm also the Holistic Soul with a W on Instagram. So give me a follow. And I actually just posted about Venus and Uranus today and this weekend ahead, and kind of giving us a little clip, glimpse, because Venus is the ruler of, Libra in this eclipse season. So a lot of that energy just building in March. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Exciting and great. Okay. Thanks, Ash, for being on today.
Thanks for having me.
The statements in this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA. Information provided here and products recommended or sold on coffeewiththedocs.com and/or our podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided by this site and/or by this podcast is not a substitute for a face-to-face consultation with your physician and should not be construed as medical advice of any sort. By using any of this information or reading it, you are accepting responsibility for your own health and health decisions and expressly release Dr. Nicole Huffman and Dr. Abby Kramer and its partners and guests from any and all liability whatsoever, including that arising from negligence.